Hey guys, I'm Usually Dave from the Digital Soup Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss.
You're listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Live here on PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke. What's up, Austin?
Oh, what's up, Joe? I mean, it's just us tonight, but yeah. This is the squad, the team.
Yeah, this is it. So what? It looks like half of our team is like ill right now. I think like
it's thick. Listen,
thick in the head.
The
maybe
flu is going around. So I mean, schools are getting called off.
Yeah.
My wife's dad has been down with it for about a week. It's really bad. So
it
the fact
sucks.
That they had the flu tonight, yeah. We need to pray for them because the flu is amongst everyone. Right
I'm telling you. And Mike sent us a message, and so we're just sending all kinds of healing. They're telling
absolutely.
Me. We may have to redo that intro. They didn't hear me. But it's okay.
Oh no,
it's okay. It's all right. So, but yeah, the flu, man. It's like everybody's like so sick on me right now. And there's so many people that Alex is working with. I'm just like, please don't bring it in. Please don't bring it on. Please don't. But
it's taking out half our team. Man.
It's
taking out half our team. We can't let it get to us.
I know.
Vitamin C.
Weird.
Vitamin C.
Yeah. Yeah, and airborne and emergency and whatever it is, you know, eat a whole orange.
You know what? I could do it right now. You want me to?
No, don't do it. That'd be disgusting because I don't want you to eat the rind. That might be a little. But anyway, so we got the whole clan is looks like they're hanging out with us here in the chat room. We got Lindsay hanging out. Lindsay. Love
Lindsay.
To Lindsay.
We yeah. miss you.
Yeah.
We miss you.
Feel better. And then we got Luke and we got Darth Baca and everybody's hanging out with us. This is so cool, you guys. Apologize. I didn't click my microphone on. Austin heard me. That's all that matters.
I heard.
Just messing with you.
And it was.
Was it beautiful? Oh, you seriously? Yeah. Okay. So we're moving on here. Let's get right on into it. Welcome to PopX, everybody, where science fiction meets pop culture. And I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. Now, we would like to welcome everyone joining us live right here on the PopX.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you guys missed episode 69, Marvel versus DC Comics, The Path to Childhood, check our official website at PopXcast.com for this and other great past shows. Also, be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after this show. Click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you guys showing us some love by leaving us not a 1, 2, 3, or 4, a 5-star review. We want a 5-star review, and we love hanging out with you guys. Joe, we got a big show ahead. You ready for this?
Dude, I am so excited. I mean, I'm so proud of you because We'll talk about it here in a minute. All right. So, I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but so don't go nowhere. We got the news coming up right now. Stay with us.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
Are we dabbing?
We're dabbing during
Are we
intro.
Doing that? Are we seriously doing that in the news intro?
Oh, it's so lit right
something
now.
Something wrong this with me. Lit. I can't help it. So we've, you know, leading us off here, looks like we got some Star Wars news. So we've known for a little while that Star Wars The Last Jedi wasn't performing very well in China. But it's now pretty much official that the movie is a box office flop.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, boy. Now, Rian Johnson has helmed the release debut to be disappointing. $28.7 million, but that dropped to $2.4 million by the following. Oh my gosh! A shocking decline of 92%.
Yeah,
I've for a sequel which has performed well everywhere else. Now the film has been beaten by movies such as Valerian and Geostorm. Now while this is Valerian, really? Geostorm? Really? Okay, this is disappointing, you think? Now, The Last Jedi still has strong outings in almost every other country and currently sits at about $1.3 billion worldwide. Now, Austin, let's stop and talk about this. What is going on in China?
Man, China. Man, there's so many things. First off, the Star Wars trilogy, original trilogy, I just learned this the other day, apparently was never released in China at all. So they go into The Force Awakens with this huge buildup, not knowing anything about the characters. Hmm. And since they didn't know anything about the past characters, I assume it didn't really work for them in Force Awakens. So that only makes $120 million, which is still a lot more than this. Yeah. Then you go to Rogue One. Rogue One stars two major Chinese and Japanese actors. So there's $60 million right there. With The Last Jedi, Force Awakens didn't work for them. Yeah. There are really no Asian actors in the movie that are very prominent. I think that's just a bad combination. So this movie, while this is a pretty bad drop off, so it could be something else.
Mm.
I think those factors have something to do with it.
Interesting. Wow. And you know, I'm thinking about it too. I mean, it's kind of interesting. You got to look at it in retrospect. It would be like the movie Attack on Titans dropping in a U.S. cinema.
It's true.
Because Attack on Titan is an ongoing It's an ongoing series over there. And for us, a lot of us Americans and Eastern civilizations, Western civilizations rather, we don't really understand what Attack on Titans is. So if somebody drops the movie in the theater today, I'd be like, why are giant people eating people? You know, and why are they naked and roaming around going,
It wouldn't work in America.
No.
It wouldn't.
No.
It's, I think, same concept over there with Star Wars. Which is sad, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but you would think, though, with Star Wars being a worldwide phenomenon, that they would know at least who Luke Skywalker was, maybe.
Yeah, and the whole movie, Force Awakens, builds up to seeing Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
If they don't know who he is...
They
What's
will
the
by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. That's one of those unexplainable phenomenons. And it's depressing, honestly, if you're a fan of that movie. But to move on to something that's not as sad, last week, Warner Brothers Animation released a first glimpse at Suicide Squad Hell to Pay. Now, this is a DC animated movie, the 31st. To be exact, with an all-new voice cast, the film doesn't appear to be in continuation with any of the other movies, but big-time actor, listen to this, Christian Slater will voice Deadshot, and Vanessa Williams will portray Amanda Waller. Fan-favorite voice actress Tara Strong returns to voice Harley Quinn, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. The movie will be released on digital and on-demand March 27th, while Ultra HD Blu-ray and combo packs go on sale April 10th. Joe, is this a DC animated movie you're going to watch?
I mean, you know what? It kind of seems like a cornered market with DC and these animated movies because there a lot of the storylines that's come out in their comic books have in some way made their adaptations into the animation field.
Absolutely.
Now, I think it will probably – I mean, the last one we saw was – what was it? The Dark, Justice League Dark. with Swamp Thing and Constantine and Matt Ryan coming back and reprising his role. I thought that was brilliant. So I, you know, if they're going to do something cool with Suicide Squad, I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be light years better than the movie that we got. So yeah, I'm excited to see it. Like a better term. So
amen, brother.
Yeah. So, but Christian Slater.
Yeah. That's so weird.
That's
right?
A weird call, that's man.
Deadshot. I mean, he's got a cool voice, so I guess we'll
he
see.
Does have a cool voice, but man, that's, I don't know. Kiefer Sutherland, maybe.
Oh gosh.
Love his voice.
Put him in a superhero movie.
What about James Spader, man? James Spader, the voice of Ultron. Dude.
Oh my god, his voice is incredible.
I have no strings on me. Anyway, strings.
We are.
This is fun. This is great. It's good. So I think you know. Honestly, though, I probably will watch it and just kind of see how it goes. But moving on with the news, this week brought the news that Warner Brothers has enlisted John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, directors of The Vacation reboot and writers of Spider-Man Homecoming. We all remember the Vacation movie that came out a couple years ago, which was like drastically more perverted than Chevy Chase ever dreamed it would be, to the helm of the new Flashpoint movie. Now, but the report is also mentioned that the studio had first come to Justice League actor Ben Affleck about taking on the job. Now, since then, there have been some conflicting updates on this with Collider Steve's Weintraub's claiming that claiming the Academy Award winning director was never approached about the film at all. Now, while some claim that Affleck turned the job down immediately, Flashpoint now has a directing duo and should begin production within the year. So, kind of sounds like Han Solo. I don't like the way it's going. Let's get old Ballhead in there and take care of it for him. Dude,
they have Ron been Howard. Through so many directors. They have had three directors drop off. They approached Ben Affleck, and now they get the guys. Granted, they wrote Spider-Man Homecoming, which is pretty cool, but they directed the Vacation reboot.
I'm a little on the fence about that one, man. I think that DC is at a point with the DCEU that they're at a bubble. They're at a point to where the bubble's going to burst because they have the drive to get the content out there. They have a drive to get the characters out there, but they are just going at it the wrong way. And this is coming from me. This is my personal preference. This is my opinion. Take it for what you will. But I think the stories are so poorly written for these movies that the directors, when they read it, they're like, oh, my God, no, I can't do this. What are you talking about? And, I mean, poor Ben Affleck. I mean, I have no qualms whatsoever with Ben Affleck playing the role of Bats. I actually like him as Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
But I think, you know, even approaching him, I mean, are they that desperate? I mean, not to say that Ben Affleck can't direct because he is actually a really seasoned actor and director. But, I mean, they're just reaching for anything right now that they can get. And
to go back to a guy that has continuously went back and forth on playing the role of Batman and directing the Batman movie when he was on that project, why would you go back to that? Nothing, like you said, nothing against Ben Affleck, but that's just like reaching. Yeah. They are reaching. DC continues to reach.
And the only thing is that they got it right with Wonder Woman. Why? Because they had a female lead director who got the series. And, you know, she was able to empower the woman figure, the Amazonian, if you will, with this amazing, compelling story that, yes, there was a wonderful enemy plot twist at the end and it caught all of us by surprise. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what we need. I mean, and we get movies like Suicide Squad and... I hope that Aquaman's going to be good. I just don't know where I sit with – they don't have a good track record.
No.
I'm just saying.
Not at all. The DCEU is basically – it's hanging on the balance right now when it comes to Aquaman. If Aquaman doesn't work, the whole – everything is done. Yeah. I mean, it's done because that is three or four out of five movies that haven't worked. Wonder Woman's the only movie that's universally loved.
And let me say this for the record, for anybody listening to us right now, I know that we're on a very serious banter about DC, but you know, Marvel's had its flops, ups and downs. I mean, there were some movies in the MCU that wasn't really core good ones. I mean, like Thor Dark World was kind of, you know, but and then Iron Man 2 and 3 was kind of, but honestly, though, it's like DC is like so heck bent on getting their product, their brand and everything out there. They're just willing to throw whatever works into a on in the camera. And, you know, we saw what happened with that. That was Justice League.
It was Justice.
It was Justice League. It was okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
It was okay.
That's how I feel about DC right now. They're fine. They need to step it up. I think that's the bottom line. DC needs to step up their movie game. And hey, if Aquaman works, maybe that's what gets them back on the right track. We thought that with Wonder Woman.
Austin, I think too, you got to think about this with DC versus MC. I think the plan with Marvel has come a decade ago. Kevin Feige had a vision for what he wanted the MCU to be.
One guy.
And you know what? Marvel entrusted him. It's like, okay, we're going to give you a couple of films. Let's see what you can do. From the get-go, Feige set up a subplot point of Thanos that was instilled in the very first couple of, you know, we had Captain America, the First Avenger. We already saw what the Tesseract was. And we already heard what the Infinity Stone was. So right off the bat, and DCEU hasn't done this. There's no vision or direction in the higher-ups. And I think that's the problem is the storylines are some kind of getting skewed. They're wanting to get these movies out there because they're trying to compete with other franchises. But when they try to get these movies out so quickly, it's becoming a major flop, with the exception of Wonder Woman.
So. Absolutely. There's no end game. And I love what you said there. They are so scrambled. They're trying to play catch-up with Marvel.
They are.
And it's not working. But you know what? Still love the DC characters.
Me too. That was a good little conversation, man.
It was a good conversation.
That was a
great
banter.
Topic, too.
Yeah.
Hey, another good topic that Mike brought up last week. So during the live show last week, Mike came on, said that Michael Pena had confirmed talks of Ant-Man 3. And I am very excited about Ant-Man 2. So this week, Disney released a brand new image from Ant-Man that showed him and the Wasp, and put the spotlight on the two titular heroes. This is the first time we've seen them together outside of concept art, and I think they look really cool. Based on the movie's title, we'll see a lot of these two working as a team in this adventure, and it looks like they're going to bring Hope's mother, Janet, back from the mysterious quantum realm. So this is kind of our first little pump up for Ant-Man 2. Joe, are you excited for Ant-Man 2?
Dude, I am so excited about what they're doing. Yeah. And I got to tell you, with Hank Pym, you know, we all know from the comics that Ant-Man is Hank Pym. And I love how there is two generations of Ant-Man here. You have you have Hank passing along the baton to, you know, Paul Rudd's character. And then you have the original Wasp, who was caught in the quantum realm. We have Janet. And then we got the new Wasp. So you've got old versus new, vintage versus refreshed. And I love that the fact that the older characters are mentoring the new characters, and there's this really great dynamic there. And I think the Ant-Man franchise is probably one of the most underrated franchises in Marvel.
Yes,
I mean, absolutely, I swear. And you know, Michael Pena, my gosh, I mean, his role is so awesome. He makes the movie between him and Paul Rudd. He makes the movie. So
absolutely,
yeah.
Didn't they cast Michelle Pfeiffer as the mom? Am I crazy? I'm almost positive.
You know,
they cast Michelle Pfeiffer as the mom.
I almost want to get on IMDb right quick, but I just don't have.
I do too. I'm pretty sure. Okay, somebody correct me if
All
I'm
right,
wrong.
Lindsay,
but
somebody.
I heard. Okay, yeah, Lindsay's somebody. On it. Girl, you get it.
You get on that homework right now. You do it.
All right. You do it, baby. But Michelle Pfeiffer added to that cast the comedic mixed with the heist movie that we got with the first one, and like you said, we got all the family dynamics in the second one. This is Marvel's most interesting franchise to me, and I'm really excited for it. I think it'll be super cool.
It's gonna be awesome, and so definitely check out is that Ant-Man? It opens up this year, right? It opens up
this year, dude. It's July,
dude. So excited. It's such a year for Marvel. Cool. All right, next up on this, we have the Box Office Pro has updated their projections for Black Panther and now predict it to open at $120 million domestically with a $30 million increase from the initial $90 million estimates. Now, this would be an incredible achievement for a first standalone film featuring Chadwick Boseman's King of Wakanda, T'Challa, as it would mark just the second time a first entry to a standalone franchise has exceeded, let me underscore that, let me highlight that, exceeded the 100 million mark in an opening weekend for Marvel Studios property. Surpassing Ant-Man, surpassing Doctor Strange. What?
That's insane. That's so insane.
And I think here's what's part of the hype. The hype is this is the only movie we're going to get before Infinity War.
That's true.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's going to be some nugget bombs dropped in the film that we're going to be like,
yes,
oh, it's getting good now. So we know.
Imagine the post credit scenes for Black Panther. What are they going to be?
Michelle Pfeiffer will play Janet Van Dyne.
Yes!
I thought I heard something like that.
Lindsay Badger to the rescue.
Yeah. Oh, Lindsay.
Yes, Lindsay's awesome.
But yeah, that's we have Ant-Man, we have Avengers Infinity War, and Black Panther. I mean, if it makes this amount of money on Fandango right now, which this isn't total box office, but just Fandango tickets, it is tracking higher than Civil War.
Just take my money. Just take it. Just take it.
Are you kidding me? Civil War. Are you?
Just take it. I'm done.
Well, let's go, Joe. Come on. Let's
make it rain for Wakanda.
Let's go watch
Black Panther. Hey, did you, right quick, before we go into the last thing, did you hear what an editorial author is trying to do at a press conference with Trump and Wakanda?
No.
They are trying to ask the question. This is so funny. They are trying to ask the question, President Trump, what are your thoughts on the situation going on in Wakanda? And to any reporter that asked Trump that, they are going to pay him like $300 cash. I'm not making this up. I can't
he
make this up.
So much more than that.
Wakanda's great. So we don't really sway one way or the other here on PopX.
That's just so funny.
We are just in the limelight to make you laugh. So hopefully you're laughing along with us. But I would love to be a fly on the wall on that question. If somebody ever has the fortitude to ask such a question to the POTUS in charge.
No. But you know that's going
viral. That would be pretty pretty good like promo for like
that's
Black
awesome.
Panther would be.
That's awesome.
All right, I'm done. Go ahead.
Oh, dude, that is fantastic. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so moving on. That was so good. Moving on. This week brought us the return of our favorite CW shows, including Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. This also marked the premiere of the brand new DC TV show In Black Lightning. Mm-hmm. The show was an immediate hit, striking rave reviews from critics and loving embrace from fans. No one is sure whether or not Black Lightning has its place within the Arrowverse, but fans are happy that the premiere got the show off on the right track. Joe, have you had a chance to watch Black Lightning?
Well, I'm right now in the process of catching up on all the shows, and so I'm going through, and I'm all caught up on Supergirl, thankfully. So
there's nice.
That.
I'm still
so
behind.
Rain. I'm starting to see Rain come in, so that's great. I think honestly, I was reading an article the other day about the importance of Black Lightning, especially in the CW franchise of the DC Arrowverse. And if it ever crosses, I'm sure it will at some point into the Arrowverse,
but
I think it's really awesome that they have a actor who is a black lead, and it's kind of like, going back to Luke Cage of the Defenders or whatever, but he is empowering the struggle. It's kind of echoing what's going on in the nation today and in the world. And I think he's just, his character and his role is embracing that. And he's just doing it with so much grace, the way he's acting. I've seen the promo reels and the trailers and all that. And I think it is an awesome addition to the CW lineup.
Yes.
And I think,
absolutely.
I mean, the guy embodies Lightning. I mean,
he's scary, man.
It's pretty cool, dude.
The guy has a presence.
Great. And some of the sound effects and the like, it almost sounds like like Tron-ish in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you got that dubstep vibe, you know, going on with a little bit of the Tron legacy soundtrack. It's just so cool, and I totally dig it. But
it's cool.
Yeah, so that'll catch us up on that. Man, that was an awesome news segment, right?
A lot of stuff to soak in.
So, you know what? This week is going to be a really cool week for PopX because this is our Mr. Austin Burke is going to be actually helping facilitate this week's topic. Now, if you've been out on Facebook and you've been on YouTube and you've seen the little show card that we've put out. It's going to be a pretty in-depth discussion on what's happening right now in mainstream movies. And with all that said, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Austin. He's going to lead us through this conversation and debate. So,
Well, everybody, yeah. Close in, gather close around, in.
Yeah, come on, fire. Let's start it up. Where's the marshmallow
It's thing? Time to talk. So I thought a good topic for this week was the topic that I think is on everybody's minds right now when it comes to big blockbusters. We're talking not just Rotten Tomatoes. We're talking critic scores, critics, and user scores of movies and how they're affecting pop culture in general, because I think it's worse now or better, according on how you look at it, than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. It's affecting box office. It's affecting the way that movies are made, and it's affecting who is getting cast in what film, because actors have come out and talked about Rotten Tomatoes and its effect. And now we're seeing trailers on television saying the Rotten Tomatoes score in the trailers because these studios understand how much it affects movies.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted to start off by saying this. The internet can be an interesting place. And for years we've been hearing about backlash against certain films days, months, or even years after. Not when they first come out. This is backlash after these movies release in theaters. And one example that I want to start off with, it's not our main topic tonight, but it's an example. It's Captain America: Civil War. Mm-hmm. So upon release, this movie was celebrated by fans and critics. You got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, user and critics. And about 2 months after, there's a huge group of Reddit users. Now, this is a weird story. They get on IMDb, and the way IMDb works is you don't have to watch the movie to rate it. A lot of times, you can rate the movie before it even releases in theaters. I don't like that very much.
Wow.
So there's a huge group of Reddit users that gets on IMDb and they give Captain America: Civil War a 1 out of 10, which takes its average down quite a bit because the average was pretty dang high. Now, this is not something that gets under our skin because people are going to be people and yeah. It's just something that they do, but it should be something that makes for a good topic of discussion. The most recent example, which is pretty much our main topic tonight. It's Star Wars: The Last Jedi, our main topic of discussion, not just for this evening, but it's something we're going to be talking about for months. It's been a huge topic over the last 4 weeks. And Joe, I'll turn it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about The Last Jedi a little bit.
Okay, so I think The Last Jedi, right out of the gate, we kind of saw a few things immediately embraced by critics. I mean, everybody, you get on IMDb, you get on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, it's literally Thursday night. The film is opening the next day.
Yes.
All right, so you're getting ready to go see your film. It's 7 o'clock. You're going to go to the premiere, and you get on Rotten Tomatoes. And I have a habit of doing this, and I need to really break it. Austin, I'm so serious.
I do it too.
I get on there, and I look at that rating. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be a turd. Or, oh, man, this is going to be great. And I get on there, and I look, and I'm like, oh. And then you watch the movie and, you know, then you have your own opinion. But rocking a high score on a Metacritic infrastructure like Rotten Tomatoes, for example, and then IMDb, as the days progress, the user score on these sites have continued to kind of drop. There's this plateau of decreasing that's going on.
Not the critic scores.
No.
The user scores.
These are, you know, critic scores are great, but a lot of people, myself included, I want to hear what another moviegoer thought about it.
Exactly.
So Rotten Tomatoes ended up, I can't even believe I want to say this, at a 49% user score and a 4.6 meta score for Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad film. I mean, I had quirks and qualms with it, but it doesn't deserve that. Now, many fans that dislike the movie have valid points and the solid criticisms of the film, but just like Civil War, there are so many that have joined groups and signed petitions to just downgrade the scores, and they've even gone as far as to remove the movie from Star Wars canon.
Mm.
Now, is that official? Did they officially remove The Last Jedi from canon?
There's a petition online. They won't do it.
Yeah.
Lucasfilm's going to look at there and they're going to snicker while they're flying their money in the air.
Right.
But there is literally a petition online and it's got signatures. And I mean a good amount of signatures.
Wasn't
from
it like
fans.
300,000?
It's a lot. A lot of people are saying a lot of these are forged because there's some people that are coming out on Twitter and saying, I didn't sign that. My name's on there. You know, so I don't know how that works. But there's a lot of people that are trying to remove The Last Jedi from canon. That's how bad it is. Yeah.
So there's a fine line here that needs to be drawn. When is the point as we as a moviegoer become so vocal that we're trying to literally derail or change an entire infrastructure of film that have been set into motion?
Yeah.
Out of what is considered mainstream and downgraded. And there's a fine line there. I mean, how do you as a Reddit user get, you know, gather together and you get your posse of 1,000, 10,000, whatever, and you guys infiltrate IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes and the Metacritic store and all that. You infiltrate the score and you start to literally change the entire industry. I mean, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Austin, what's your thoughts on that?
Man, I bring it up a little bit later, but let's go ahead and talk about it right now.
Well, I mean, if, I don't want to like open up the can of worms too early.
No, I watched Transformers the last night. And I had a physical reaction in the theater. Okay. Yeah. A physical reaction.
I think mine was flatulence, but go ahead.
Well, it sounds just like the movie.
Yeah.
But even a movie like that, that's as disliked as Transformers, to go in without watching Transformers the last night and give it a 1 out of 10, I despise that idea.
I do too.
I despise that concept.
I loathe because that idea.
You can't not watch a film. You can't not watch a film and then judge it. You can't. You can't. If a movie has a 1% on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm like, dang, that score is low. But I haven't watched the movie. So I don't have an opinion. You know, you can say, wow, that score is high, wow, that score is low. But until you watch the film, and that's the one thing that has bothered me about the user scores for so long, because the way that these sites work, a lot of the times you can go in and give a movie a score if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
There's no screenings. And how do you change that? You know, what is a website to do about these situations? There's not much they can do. That's why I like a site such as CinemaScore, because CinemaScore, they screen people after they watch a movie and come up with the results through that. Yeah. While I disagree with CinemaScore a lot of the times, because a lot of the times it's one theater, one group of people, and it can be the most niche group of people in the world.
Yeah.
But I respect the fact that they are getting people that actually watched the movie. I respect that.
Yeah.
I think that's great. So while a lot of user scores on these, unlike IMDb, a lot of the times for me, they're pretty accurate. You know, their Blade Runner 2049, I believe, has an 8.3, which is really high on IMDb.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face the facts. That's fairly accurate to
That's
me.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Pixar movies have great user scores. Those are pretty accurate to
most
me. But
most Pixar movies have a solid story. I'm just saying. I mean,
they're phenomenal. Yeah. Seriously. Most of Pixar movies are fantastic.
Yeah.
And you go on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's the same way. User scores, a lot of the times, are pretty accurate. I think Rotten Tomatoes a little less so.
Yeah.
Because Rotten Tomatoes, of course, it's not an actual average of the score. Rotten Tomatoes is how many people gave this movie above a 6?
Yeah.
How many people?
Is it certified fresh? Can have
exactly. So a movie can have a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and have all 6 out of 10s.
Yeah.
All 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's a weird algorithm there.
It is weird.
Yeah.
So to do a movie justice on Rotten Tomatoes, you have to look at the Rotten Tomato score, and then you look at the average score. That, to me, is what determines what a movie is like when it comes to critics and users. You look at the average score, because that, and while I still think Rotten Tomatoes is really cool in some cases, because the fact that you can get an average of, oh, people tend to like this movie, or, oh, people tend to dislike this movie. But when it comes to people giving opinions that just aren't valid, what do we do about that, Joe? What do we do?
I know. And opinions, I think it goes back to preferences. And sometimes we let our own personal preferences cloud a vision. And let me say this. Let me just get this out. I got a random thought. And so you think Michael Bay, for example. Now, Michael Bay, I mean, we all have our thoughts and mixed emotions about the Transformer franchise, okay?
Absolutely.
I think it's visually stunning. I mean, I think Michael Bay, you know, you got to think about this as an artist. I'm an artist. And, you know, when I go into a comic book shop and I want to share this from my personal experience because this is very important and very valid. When I go into a local comic book shop here in Central Florida and I have several of my artworks hanging in those shops and I see someone looking at them, it's like, oh man, that looks like crap. How would you think I would feel? Put that in perspective. This is a piece of art that I've created and I've put 30 hours of my life into it. And I have created this what I consider in my mind to be a nice masterpiece, you know, an homage to something that impacts me emotionally. And then I hear that comment and then I see all this negativity. It doesn't really jive with me well. And there comes a point as an artist that we have to like mentally block that stuff out because, you know, can't and don't is a four-letter word. And four-letter words are not permissible in this house. So I'm just letting you know that it's pretty... As an artist, and getting back to Michael Bay, he's created an art piece. He's created his vision. He grew up with Transformers and the cartoon like we all did. And he played with the toys like we all did. And so he's created in the modern age and a franchise. Now, mind you, the storylines might not be that good. That's okay. But it's still an artist's interpretation of something visual, of something relevant in pop culture. Just think about it like that. And so when you see a user rating on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes and you see it bad before you even hit the theater, there's part of my heart that just sinks. Because then I go back to the Michael Bays and I go back to, you know, anybody that does any kind of directing, whether it's Ben Affleck or whatever. And I'm just thinking about what their interpretation, even Ron Howard, think about what their interpretation is. They're putting their heart and soul into something. They're trying to create something visually for you. And, you know, it's not going to hit on all cylinders.
No.
But does that give you a little perspective from an artist standpoint, though?
Absolutely. No one sets out to make bad art.
Mm-hmm.
You don't spend, like you said, 30-something hours on a piece of art so people won't get something out of it.
Right.
Even the worst of the worst, the movie that I was telling you before the show started on Netflix, The Open House.
Yeah.
Horrible film. I hated every last minute of it. But it's not like the directors set out to make something that was that bad. They had an end game in mind. They had a goal in their head. And to me, they didn't achieve that goal. But for me to not watch that film and give it a 1 out of 10, for me to not experience that art for myself and bash it on the internet, get on Twitter. There were people before The Last Jedi came out, before it came out, that before they didn't like the film, they were going to the negative reviews of the film, and they were telling them how dumb they were because how amazing The Last Jedi was going to be before they even saw the movie.
And, you know, The Last Jedi is probably, I mean, there's a couple of moments that we really, as the fans, we wanted to see Luke Skywalker just tear it up at the
end. Yeah.
But, you know, you got to think about it, though. It was an awesome film. It was visually beautiful. It was a artistic masterpiece.
It was.
If you think about it in those terms and what Rian Johnson created in the Star Wars franchise, I mean, Doug is a friend of mine, and Doug is over in the chat room right now, and he said, Star Wars is going to have baggage for a while from fans who are mad about the old canon being turned into legends. Think about what he just said.
Yeah.
And you know what, Doug? Yeah. You're absolutely right. So
yes. Yeah.
All right.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
But, you know, I mean, it's so true. And just think about what we're trying to tell you tonight. You know, when you go and see these Marvel movies and these DC films and your favorite films in the cinema this year, and we're going to have an amazing summer of films for 2018, think about that. Don't make a decisive call before entering even into the theater. Don't say, well, man, this is going to be a turd. I don't even want to whack. Don't do it. Make your own judgment. Give your own user rating. Look what Austin Burke does. Austin gets on here and he reviews movies from his own perspective without even throwing in a Rotten Tomatoes or an IMDb or a Metacritic store. He don't even need none of that because you know why? He's doing it from his heart. He's doing his own rating. And I think if people would focus on their own thing and not worry about everybody else, might have some harmony in there, but you know what? We're never going to have harmony.
No.
Anyway.
And at that point.
It gets me fired up.
Rotten Tomatoes. You're right, though, because at that point, Rotten Tomatoes would be valid, because if we could all just look at those and say, wow, this audience of critics or users tends to lean one way or another. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What is their perspective? Yeah. Why do they feel that way about a movie? Why do I go on YouTube and review movies? Because whether or not I agree with Rotten Tomatoes, sometimes I do.
It's right here.
Sometimes I don't.
It's right here, man.
I want to feel good about the movie industry as a whole, and I enjoy it and I love it and I put my heart into it. And it's something that really just genuinely makes me happy, not just for me to review movies,
yeah,
but to go on and see other people's thoughts on movies. When Joe watches a movie, I look out for his Instagram post because I want to know what he thought.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that text after I watch Star Wars. What did Joe think of it?
Yeah.
You know, what did my best friend think of it?
At 1 a.m., I'm texting you like, oh my gosh.
You know? Oh my goodness, this. I had some problems with this. I love this. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, that is awesome. And whether we agree or disagree, it's so cool to know that other person's opinion. That's the thing about the internet. I have disagreed with so many people, but if they have valid points, I'm like, more power to you, man, because the fact that you can feel that way and defend yourself and argue and sometimes sway my opinion, yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
That's legit, man.
And I think that's the point that we're trying to make tonight, even before we move on to our other points. Your opinion
matters.
Is your opinion. And it matters.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's the most minute thing. If there's 10,000, 10 million reviews of a movie, your opinion still matters.
Now, let me say this, Austin. Now, if you're listening to our podcast and you are a subscriber and you are one of the individuals that has been partaken of this extracurricular activity of downplaying certain films, from the team of PopX, I'm going to look you straight in the eye and I'm going to say, shame on you. Because it's people like you that make it not so fun for everybody else. All right? And from an artist to an artist, think about your words. I know you probably don't even care. All you want to do is troll the web. That's all you want to do. You want to hide behind a username and nobody will ever see your face or never see you in real life. But I'm telling you right now, your opinion is falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Because it's people like what we're doing here at PopX, like Austin Burke and his channel, that are making it fun for everybody else.
Yeah.
So think about that.
Yep.
So.
Yep. 100% agree with
that's
you.
All I got to say about that, Austin. You know, you know what? People have never heard me be so opinionated on a show. And I'm actually so happy that you wrote this show tonight, because for the first time, I actually get to kind of, you know, tear down the mask and be what I am.
Exactly. Yeah.
So go ahead, Austin.
I had some more examples that I wanted to bring up in terms of backlash to a movie.
Oh, yeah.
So the list continues with movies like Wonder Woman. I think it's a really good movie. I think it's a great movie. But now we've gotten to the point to where Wonder Woman is overrated. Now, if you had that opinion when the movie first came out, you watched and you said, you know, I don't think it's as good as everybody else thinks. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're part of that small group that starts to turn on a movie because other people are turning on a movie, and then suddenly Wonder Woman becomes a movie that I guess wasn't that good, I don't understand that logic. And then Blade Runner 2049, there's a group on a site that I go on consistently. It's called Comic Book Movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a large group of people that hate that film.
Why?
Hate that film.
Why?
They hate it because so many people loved it. And they decided, and these are people that I think maybe didn't even hate it, but they decided to turn on the movie because it's already being considered a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the movie, great. I've given movies that people love bad scores. I've given movies great scores that people hate. But that's my opinion, and it's not a bandwagon that I jump on 6 months down the road because other people are trying to tear a film down. Now, this is expected, as not everyone has the same opinion, which is what we've been saying for the last hour.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be nice if people on the internet could hold a civil discussion about why you don't like a film? In terms of The Last Jedi, I feel like a lot of people go into The Last Jedi with certain expectations. And, you know, Rian Johnson didn't actually write this movie based on those expectations. Rian Johnson was writing this movie as The Force Awakens was being filmed. So it's not like he saw everybody's it's not like he saw everyone's opinions of The Force Awakens.
That's actually really important. A lot of people know that. Yeah.
It's a huge deal.
It's almost like Game of Thrones, how it's been written and filmed at the same time.
Absolutely.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah. And people don't think about that. So they think Rian Johnson saw that I wanted Rey to be Luke's daughter.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to screw with you and I'm not going to make Rey Luke's daughter. Spoiler alert, you know.
Yeah.
Hashtag spoiler alert. But the fact that he was writing this movie before there were any fan theories and before people came out on the internet and said, I want this movie to be this way, shows you that Rian Johnson was not trolling us. No. Rian Johnson knew from day one, this is what he wanted to do with those characters. Yeah. This was not, I'm going to tear down your fan theories, which, listen, like you, Joe, I wanted to see Luke Skywalker go in there and destroy some people. Yeah. I wanted to see him go in there and get in the coolest lightsaber battle that I've ever seen on screen. But you know what? We didn't get that. And while it did throw me off, it is something that I said, okay, I'm going to leave my expectations at the door and I'm going to soak in what they're giving me.
Yeah.
And what they gave me, in my opinion, was a great movie. Yeah. Now, if people don't like what Rian Johnson gave you and gives valid opinions, they're not wrong at all.
No.
There are people who hate The Last Jedi, and I'm like, you know what? Those are some great points, and that's a great opinion, and that is why I think criticism a lot of the times is overlooked, because critics like that who can sit and just talk about their points in a movie and give you a reason why they hate a movie that you love, that's why I love criticism.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I grow from criticism. I actually embrace criticism, even as an artist, as a composer, as a writer. I mean, I'm all the time looking to be critiqued, and it goes back though to what I like to call the naysayers. You know, imagine me in the comic book shop talking to the owner, and people walk in and start pointing up. Oh man, that looks like crap. You know, I mean, you know. That's not really been
hurt.
That's not being productive at all. That's not really facilitating. I want to go over to the chat room right quick. And we got some Michael D. Thomas is saying, I think it's a timing issue, Austin. When the original Blade Runner came out, there were a limited set of choices in the sci-fi era, in my opinion. Luke went on to say, I watch movies that I'm interested in. And some have horrible, awful ratings, but I enjoy them. And
there you go.
And Doug Hawk says, I don't think Rian Johnson meant to troll, but he did intend to subvert expectations, meaning all the fan expectations is paint by numbers boring. And Darth Baca even says, I just go to the movies to enjoy myself. And I think Darth actually just kind of summed it all up for all of us, really.
100%.
Yeah.
I think that's the point that
love you chat room.
By the end of the show, that's the point we're going to make is we go to the movies to have fun, and whether or not we have fun, it's important for me. You know, not for everybody, especially for people who don't love movies. I think it's important to share why or why not you enjoyed that movie.
Yeah,
I think it's going to help Hollywood down the road. I think it helps directors. I think it helps actors. And like you said, yeah, it hurts when you go call a movie a piece of crap, but why is this movie not good? Why is Transformers The Last Night, in my opinion, not a good movie? I'll tell you, and maybe down the road, Michael Bay comes back and he makes the best dang Transformers movie we've ever seen.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
That'd be awesome.
How cool would that be? Because the movies make money.
And here's the thing. I think the trend that I'm seeing is that people get on the bandwagon and do whatever is in the moment to maybe get down. What, there are 10 seconds of notoriety or whatever. Oh, I was one of the guys that did that, you know. You know, honestly, it doesn't really matter what you think.
No, it doesn't.
Just saying.
Joe, I have a question for you real
quick. Sure,
sure. So before the age of social media, before discussion boards.
Oh, are you? I want to know. You're pulling out the age card. Thanks.
Okay. I'm not saying that. Oh, I'm just saying.
I'm well seasoned. I'm like a white. I'm like a nice glass of Merlot. I just get better with age.
You are delicious.
Oh, you have no idea. I got the best grapes in the world. Go ahead.
I want to know, were people outside of Batman Returns and The Crow, were they starting mobs outside the movie theater? Were they embracing blockbusters and then 6 months later hanging up posters saying this movie is not as good as everybody says? I mean, how
okay,
did it work back
okay,
then?
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's go back 1989, Tim Burton's okay. masterpiece of Batman, okay?
Oh, yes.
We didn't have Rotten Tomatoes or, shoot, we didn't even have the internet. And so how do we find out about this? Well, it was actually guerrilla-style marketing. What is what considered that today? And I know this because I worked for 10 years at Blue Man Group as a marketer. It was mm-hmm. print. It was print. It was okay. it was things like entertainment. There was a magazine going around in the comic industry called Wizard Magazine back in the day.
Okay.
And Wizard cool. would do these articles and these great featurettes, and you would see Michael Keaton. Did you see that Batman picture in the magazine? And then everybody would rush to wherever the magazines were sold at the time and pick that magazine up and bring it to school. And there was a buzz in the classroom. I get chills talking about it. There was a buzz in the classroom about this movie. Mm-hmm. And the expectations were so high that I don't really think that fans cared what they – I mean – going into the theater, they were going to get treated with something special. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't a level, there wasn't CGI back then. You know, back in 1989, it was all stunts. That was green screens and stunts all day long. And so you have this level of expectation that is coming from all these marketing. And, it, you know, you see the trailers on TV. And then they paired it up, oh, yeah. Get the Batman cereal now by Kellogg's. Or is it General Mills or something? And so, yes, I was one of those kids. I went and got the Batman cereal, and I had the Batman mask and all that stuff. And it actually came with the Batman piggy bank on the back of the cereal box. But there was marketing and buzz had done it before the film even came out. And action figures and things like that. But getting back on the topic, I think there was an era where these movies were coming out that we just rejoiced and rallied behind Hollywood at what they were doing. And I think for the first time, fans truly were in awe that we are seeing Batman the way Batman was originally intended and envisioned by Frank Miller in the early 80s. And I think from that spawned even Superman with Christopher Reeve. Let's go back to 78.
Yeah.
All right. And you see Christopher Reeve, I mean, he's on Entertainment Weekly on the show. He's talking about it. And you see all this hype, and you know that something, John Williams is scoring the Superman. I mean, and you hear all of this, and you're just like, oh my gosh, Christopher Reeve is Clark Kent. This is, and you see the picture come out, like in a magazine or a news article, and you're like, oh, that's Clark Kent. Look at that. Oh, man. I mean, we didn't have what we have today. You couldn't get on Twitter and Google and type in, oh, what is it going to look like? What's it going to be like? We didn't have that. We didn't have trailers that accessible. The only way you actually saw a trailer is when you went to the theater and you saw it in the first moments of the film.
Wow.
Yeah. We're talking at a time before internet. So if you wanted to know what a movie was, you'd have to go watch another movie to see the trailer.
Now that's a concept.
Think about it.
Support another movie to see a trailer for a movie that you're excited about.
Think about
it. That's
cool. And it worked. What happened to Batman 1989? One of the biggest film franchises ever spawned.
Blew everyone away.
We can't really talk for Joel Schumacher's vision on it, but go ahead.
I think what you're saying is that was an era when, you know, every time a hero comes on screen, whether we've seen that hero or not, it was an event, right? See, now we're pumping out 6 comic book movies a year and people are like, oh, Black Panther, cool. Or, oh, Doctor Strange who's that? I don't know. It should be. Now, this is just my opinion. Once again, opinions. To me, it should be an event every time we get a superhero on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we get a character on screen,
mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of like how the Lord of the Rings movies were received when they came out, event films, even if everyone doesn't show up, it should be acknowledged that is cool that we're getting a Black Panther movie. Isn't it cool that we're getting an Ant-Man and the Wasp film?
I was shocked we got Doctor Strange, man. I mean, come on.
I mean,
That's a pretty left field. Yeah, dude, man. Yeah.
Remember when they cast Benedict Cumberbatch and we're freaking out.
Yeah. Because we know he is literally born for the role of Doctor Strange.
Absolutely. And I miss the days when I wasn't really a part of the days that you're talking about, but I want to be a part of the days when a movie would come out and it would be, even if the movie ended up not being very good, it's still cool that that came out. It's still cool that we got a Fantastic Four movie. Was it good? In my opinion, no.
No.
But it's still cool that we got one.
Yeah.
And it's cool that they continue to make them.
Yeah.
And I think your perspective on that is something that I have really wanted some insight on that for a long time.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And
the fact that you would read those in newspapers and ads. And
I've actually, as a matter of fact, Austin, I don't want to like toot my own horn, but several of those magazines where these films were first mentioned or uttered, that director Tim Burton is in a secret project involving DC Comics. And everybody's like, ooh, what's this going to be? Cool. And, you know, right. I mean, we read these articles. I subscribed to Wizard magazine as a child.
Mm.
And every month, on the first week of the month in the mail, in my little home in Kentucky, I would get this one magazine and I would open it up and it was the holy grail of what was going on in the world of comics. And it literally was the glue that bound an entire community. Long before cons, long before conventions or cosplay or franchise marketing of the MCU, there was magazines and editorials and exclusive photographs that only this magazine had of what was going on in the film. And for me, that was so impactful because I remember talking to all my friends back in the day and I was like, man, are you going to go see the movie this Friday? I'm going to go see the movie this Friday. It's just like, there's so much hype built up, you know, and we didn't get the trailers. I saw the trailer maybe attached to like some random movie that I had saw. I mean, I can't remember what it was in 1989, but it may have been National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, I think. I can't remember where it was, but in the time scale. But it was really interesting. And may even go back even further. Let's back it up just a couple of years. I know I'm on a rant. I'll shut up. 1985, Back to the Future.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a minute. Robert Zemeckis. Can we just say, drop the mic, okay?
The man.
The ultimate trilogy in all sci-fi is the Back to the Future trilogy. And how do we hear about it? Well, we heard about it through, actually, Michael J. Fox. Because Michael J. Fox would have a little thing that he would do right at the end of his Family Ties. I think it was Family Ties. Was it Family Ties?
Okay.
What was the show he was on? I can't remember. I think it was Family Ties. But he would have come up, hey guys, Mr. Michael J. Fox, I got a really cool film coming up. It's called Back to the Future in theaters.
No way.
And I'm like,
wow.
Wow. And then, you know, on TV, we get like the 30-second quick trailer of you know, Doc Brown and the DeLorean. You're like, whoa,
what is that?
And you just from that 30 seconds of imagery and seeing Michael J. on television, you know, talking about it, that's the only way we knew about Back to the Future.
Wow.
And it single-handedly became one of the best trilogies in science fiction history.
Yeah.
And it didn't have any, it didn't have Rotten Tomatoes. It didn't have IMDb. It didn't have Metacritic scores.
No.
It had hype.
Oh, and it made a lot of money too.
And it made a crap lot of money.
For that time, it made a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, that right there is the prime example. Back to the Future, big blockbuster film. I didn't know they did marketing through television shows. That's great.
It was really quick. Like right at the end of it, they would do like really quick, like little snippets. And you might be able to find a few of them on YouTube. I mean, I'm not sure. I've not really looked them up. But a lot of times, I remember many times William Shatner would promote Star Trek.
Yeah.
He would like cross-pollinate. Like in Star Trek The Next Generation, when it came out, William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy or one of them would be on there. Coming in the theaters in 2 weeks, ooh. Star Trek, or, you know, I can't remember what. By that time, they were up to like the Undiscovered Country or something like that. But it was, I mean, that's pretty awesome, you know, and that's how we learned about it. So I'm going to let you finish this up. So go ahead.
You're fine. You're fine. I think that's great. I love getting that kind of insight. I think the way that the world worked back then in terms of movies, I think it was a little bit smoother, but there are great things about social media, the internet, and these critic review sites when it comes to movies as well. I mean, you have hype built up through social media. Mm-hmm. You have hashtags when movies come out with a little cool emoji.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's got the little emoji after the hashtag.
I love the Thor Ragnarok ones. Those are so
yeah,
cool.
That, that the, yeah. But you have these ways of getting on YouTube and putting out a movie review. There are ways to express your opinions, to build up hype through your videos. I mean, what do you think this podcast is about? We, when we love a movie, when we discuss a movie, we are trying to get you guys who listen to the show to go out and watch that movie.
And experience it for yourself.
And experience it for yourself. It's a great way to build up hype. The internet is not all bad. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, this entire show has been us kind of smack talking it a little bit in a way, but there are great things about it too.
Yeah.
And I think the main point that Joe and I are trying to make, we go back to the chat room, movies are awesome. And whether or not you have people on the internet, I quote unquote trolls, trying to tear a film down, good or bad, you know, it's important for us to go watch a movie for ourselves, form our own opinion, and then your select group of people who you enjoy watching and listening to, you go get their opinions, you start a civil discussion, you soak in the information, and it just furthers that passion for comic books, for superheroes, for cinema, for acting, for Hollywood. What do I want to do in 30 years? I want to direct a movie. I've always wanted to do that. And do you know why? Because I discovered these YouTube critics. Then that got me into all of these art house films, all of these classic movies, the Back to the Future trilogy, all of these comic book movies. It fuels my passion. So why not let it, even if you're not very passionate about movies, why not let it fuel your passion? Go to a movie that you relate to. Go to a movie that you look up to someone for. Go to a movie to support an actor.
It might not
be
a Marvel movie or a DC movie. It might be something very dramatic like Dunkirk or, know, it's something that's an epic. And I just want to say this and kind of go on the tails of what Austin is saying. What we're trying to tell you here, and we're going to wrap this up as PopX, is when you if there's a movie that creates a little bit of buzz in your head, like, oh man, I think I might want to go watch that. Do yourself a favor. Don't get online and look at reviews. Enjoy it for yourself and make your own conclusions. And if you have the means and you have the resources, maybe do a YouTube video about it or get on Facebook and say, hey guys, I saw this really great movie. I highly recommend it. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to tell you is make your own decisions for yourself and don't let others make it for you.
Yes. Done. That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got.
Yes. Dude, that was a awesome discussion, man.
It was, man, dude, that was a round table at its finest. My goodness.
That was so good. And hats off to you for coming up with such a great topic. And
thank you, man.
And if you like this particular style, let us know and give us feedback, because we are trying in 2018 to not just do something as structured, but something more roundtable like this. So if you liked tonight, you've liked our thoughts and you valued what we had to say, and maybe even took some of it to heart, then let us know. Comment below here on YouTube or on Podbean, wherever you're getting your feed from, and say, guys, you got something pretty good, or I don't like this. Get back to what, just give us feedback, whatever.
Let us know. Yeah, yeah. We'll take it. We'll take criticism. I mean, that's what this show's about. We'll take it. If you have it, we'll take it. Absolutely.
10-4. Austin Burke, virtual high five.
Boom. Oh, man. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Great.
All right. So, guys, as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves at your local comic book shop or in the theater and around geek culture in general, let us know here on social media using our hashtag YoPopX, especially if you go see Black Panther in a couple of weeks. Maybe get a couple selfies of yourself in front of the poster. We'll use it right here on PopX, okay? So if you use the hashtag, we'll use your post on a future episode of PopX.
Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network. Also, check us out on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest, all at PopXCast. send us comments and suggestions via email at popxcast@gmail.com. Also, for future and past shows, visit our website. We're talking social media. We're talking internet. www.popxcast.com. You guys can follow me on YouTube. Everything else is optional. I am so focused on movie reviews right now. I'm literally so focused. If you don't have the Stardust app, get on there. Just follow all the amazing content creators. And I told you, my goal is 125 movies this year, Joe. I think I can.
And I have to say, I have to give you a little bit of the spotlight here, Austin, because I subscribe to your feed over and just get on YouTube and type in Austin Burke. And, I subscribe to your feed. And, you know, I will give you a little bit of meat for your bones. I actually sometimes will value your opinion on movies that I'm feels kind of questionable because there's some weeks I don't have as much in the wallet and I'm debating, do I want Chipotle or do I want to go watch this movie? So, you know, you got to really pick and choose what you do with your $10, if you know what I'm saying. But sometimes I'll get on your channel and I was like, so what did Austin think about this? And lo and behold, 9 times out of 10, you've already reviewed, you've seen the movie, and I'm like, okay, cool. All right, cool. He's getting it. And I love the fact you don't do this. You keep the spoilers away, and you just give it from your heart.
Yes.
And yeah, I love that part because, I mean, you're doing a good job. And people, I mean, shoot, I'm your cousin. I'm in Florida, and I'm watching your channel. So if that says anything. But so be able to make sure you subscribe to Austin's channel as well, and be sure to subscribe to PopX, okay? And again, I'm Joseph Burke. At Joseph Burke Arts all over the internet. And of course, hats off to Mr. Austin Burke and my amazing team, PopX, who, be praying for them, thank them, send them some healing vibes because Lindsay's sick.
We miss them.
And Mike's sick. And, you know, Mike, he actually had to work. You remember last week when it snowed in Atlanta? Well, he had to work out on the tarmac for that. He works for Delta, by the way. And I think he got it.
That's what it was.
But Mike and Lindsay, this is from us. We love you. And we hope to see you. Seriously. Now, a little bit of information before we go and let you go off. February the 4th is Super Bowl. All right. So we are going to finagle on be sure to subscribe and like our page over on Facebook. We're going to actually post the date for episode 71 on our Facebook page and, of course, on our Instagram pages as well. But we're debating on the week before or the week after.
Yeah.
So we'll let you know on that topic. It's probably going to be the week after, but we'll let you know. All right. Cool. So from all of us here at PopX, Austin Burke, thank you so much for your amazing thoughts.
Welcome,
and insight,
man.
Dude.
Awesome. Amazing. Way to great show. I loved it.
All right. So we're going to head out of here. You guys take care. Happy downloading. And we'll see you next time on PopX.
See you later.
From everyone at PopXcast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXcast. Get your geek on.